Coming up, behind the scenes of a best-selling biography that's been on the Hanukkah and birthday wish list of readers around the world. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Dean. And if you enjoy a variety of books with authentic Jewish values, we read you loud and clear. Do people who know you ask for book recommendations? What's on your reading table? Well, I ask people that question a lot, and it's a regular feature on this podcast as well. And in just a little while, we will check in with this week's special reading table contributor, author, and lecturer, Sarah Blau. But first, I'm delighted to welcome back to the podcast my featured guest and best-selling author, Slovy Young-Rice-Wolf. She is a renowned lecturer and parenting instructor. Her groundbreaking parenting handbook, Raising a Child with Soul, has been a source of guidance to parents and families around the world. And in September 2023, she spoke with me on 613 Books Podcast about her most recent book, The Soul of Parenting, which addresses a myriad of complex modern-day parenting predicaments and resolves them with clarity and, of course, soul. Slovy is the daughter of Rebbetzin Esther Young-Rice of blessed memory and continues her mother's legacy of rekindling the spark within every soul. And on this episode, Slovy has agreed to come back and talk about that instant classic biography about her mother titled The Rebbetzin, the story of Rebbetzin Esther Young-Rice, her life, her vision, her legacy. As many of you know, Rebbetzin Esther Young-Rice was a young Holocaust survivor who became a friend, advisor, confidant, Torah teacher, and often even a surrogate mother to thousands, singles and families, prime ministers, presidents, and prisoners, and soldiers throughout the world. The Rebbetzin was written by Rabbi Nachman Seltzer, one of the Jewish world's premier authors, who interviewed close to 100 people, family, shul members, students, neighbors, and many others whose souls she touched, who shared her devotion to Klal Yisrael. Welcome back to 613 Books Podcast, Slovy Young-Rice-Wolf.
I am so happy to be here with you today.
I'm so happy to be talking about the book, The Rebbetzin. I lived in New York City, and I was privileged to meet the Rebbetzin and hear her speak, and so many of my friends. We were all amazed and delighted when the book, The Rebbetzin, was released, and it's one of those bestsellers that is just continually purchased. It's given as gifts, and it's really the ultimate gift. Also for someone who really wants to get to know the Rebbetzin and didn't have a chance to, or wants her memory to go on for them. So if you could tell us a little bit of the backstory, what it was like when the book was being developed and written, and what was going on in your home.
Sure. When my mother left this world, we knew that we had a legacy that we had to keep alive. My mother, Rebbetzin Esther Young-Rice, I call my mother a shooting star. We were so lucky to have her in our life and in the world of the Jewish nation and in our family. How do we keep that legacy alive as years go? So Rabbi Nachman Seltzer was the one that we called upon together with Art Scroll, and he did an incredible job. He came from Israel to the United States. He interviewed each and every one of us. We introduced him to many people whose lives my mother changed forever. And he wove their story, our story, my mother's life from the time that she was born, even before that, to the great sages that we came from. The Menuchas Asher, the miracle rabbi that people visit his graveside until today and daven and pray. He was known as a miracle rabbi. And Rabbi Seltzer went through all the different years, the pre-war years, the war years, after the time that Hineni was created, how it was created, the different people that my mother touched, and then, of course, the family. It's a remarkable book. When I concluded my time reading it, I just sat and cried a little bit because I didn't want it to be over. And at the same time, I couldn't believe that I had been so blessed to have a mother such as mine.
Yes. If you could tell people who aren't quite clear, what is Hanani? What was her purpose? You know, she was so driven. You know, she just did so many things. But this was also her life's work. So what is Hanani? What was her goal and how it's carried on?
Well, my mother was a child of the Holocaust of Bergen-Belsen. She speaks about it often. We grew up with that. When people ask me, when did you know that you were born upon the ashes of the Holocaust? That's how I see my life, born upon the ashes of the Holocaust. I can't even remember. This is how I grew up. The moment I knew my name, I knew that I was named for my great-grandmother who walked into Auschwitz with the Shema on her lips. This is our legacy. It was never about being down, though. It was never about being pushed. It was about the triumph of the spirit. That's how we grew up, with our roots, with our legacy, with our understanding. When my mother came to this country as a little girl, after going through Bergen-Belsen and the DP camps, she lived through a physical Holocaust, but came here and saw in front of her eyes, though she was a child, a spiritual Holocaust. She saw it through her eyes, through my grandparents' eyes, and though they had nothing, the first thing that they did was invite their neighbors who were Jewish for Shabbos, for a Shabbos meal. These children had no idea what it meant to be a Jew. So though my grandparents did not have much, their entire life was about their spiritual wealth and sharing it with others. My mother then started Hanani, and very courageously, through the encouragement of my father and my grandparents, took out Madison Square Garden in 1973 for what she called a Jewish revolution, to help Am Yisrael, to help our people just understand who we are, come back to our roots. And it was an incredible gathering of religious and not religious, young and older people, everyone coming together, all ages, all types of Jews. My mother, before she started her organization, Hanani, went to the greatest of our generation. She went to Rav Moshe Feinstein. She went to Rav Henkin. She went to the Satmar Rebbe to go for a bracha. She went together with my Zayde, with my grandfather. She was given a bracha. She was given this blessing to start Hanani, to take out Madison Square Garden, to bring alienated Jews back to their roots. It was a time of cults. It was a time of tremendous intermarriage. It was a time of a lot of confusion. Jewish children get involved in everything but their Judaism. It was a time of a loss of identity, and my mother could not be still. She could not be quiet. This is how we grew up. You have to do something. My Zayde, my grandfather, would quote the pasuk, the verse to us always, Es achai ani mevakesh, the words that Joseph said as he was looking for his brothers. I'm seeking my brothers. And my Zayde would say, this must become your mission in life. There are thousands of brothers and thousands of sisters. You must seek, look, take care of them, and bring them home.
Amazing. You know, you mentioned that your mother, of blessed memory, that she never stopped, so to speak. She was very driven. And, you know, all a person has to do is just look in a journal, and they would see another advertisement or read another story that Rebbetzin Youngreis traveled here and was speaking there. And always, there's just so many lectures and speeches that are available that were recorded. And I'm just wondering if she ever slept. Like, she really did so much, so much. It was all of that traveling.
Heather, you know what my mother would say? You ask if she ever slept. My mother said, one time, one of my siblings said, Ima, you have to sleep, because she would come home from the city, from Hanani, 4 o'clock in the morning, really, until the last person left with their problem. My mother was brilliant, and she was able to help people really navigate all types of situations and problems. she would come home and then start writing her article for the Jewish press. And one of my siblings said, Ima, you have to sleep. We all said it to her, Mommy, it's not good. You have to sleep. My mother would say, I sleep fast. I do everything fast. I sleep fast. And then she would say, and I will sleep in the next world. I don't have to sleep now. If Hashem gives me energy, if Hashem gives me hours, if Hashem gives me time, what a gift. I will sleep in the next world. I cannot sleep here. She was passionate about her love for her people.
So that's something I'd like to mention, that for anybody who met her, she greeted everybody with that trademark smile. It was so genuine. You could just see it in her neshama, in her soul, that she was genuinely so happy to meet each person. I can tell you firsthand, she had never met me before. I was just at one of her speeches, and everybody got that greeting and such caring and focus, as if she was speaking to you as if you're the only person in the world.
Yes, she really meant it. And you know what, Heather, the first day that my mother arrived to Bergen-Belsen, you can imagine a little girl in Bergen-Belsen.
Yes.
My Zayda said to her, here you have a Graysa Avoda, you have a huge mission.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the book, the Rebbetzin. Here, Tati, my mother said, what can I do here? I'm just a little girl. I'm in this Gehenim, in this hell. My Zayda said, here, you have to give a shmeichel. You have to give a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you give a smile, you give hope to another. She never lost that.
Wow, what a smile. Amazing. You know, even in this gift-giving season, Hanukkah shopping season, people will be buying this book yet again for relatives, friends, people who could really use a nice burst of strength, a lot of inspiration. You know, the book has been published. It's been out there. And of course, I'd love to know some of the feedback that you've been getting. So yeah, in the time we have remaining, I would love to know your perspective about the impact and the feedback that you've been getting about this book, The Rebbetzin.
Some people have contacted me with their stories that I wish we could have included in the book, because they were life-changing, life-transforming, and I had no clue, no idea. The impact of one human being, one woman, to change so many lives, to touch, it's not just the person, but then it's the generations that come afterwards. The ripples are incredible. Many people have also told me that just by reading this book, they ask themselves, what would Rebbetzin Young Grace have done? It has given them courage to reach out to another, to invite another person for Shabbos, to invite another person for a meal on Purim, on Hanukkah, to have the courage to not live just for yourself, but to see yourself as part of this great nation. We have responsibility. We have ability. Hashem put us in this world to care, to be compassionate, to make a difference. My mother wasn't afraid of anybody or anything, only Hashem. She believed in her mission in this world. She gave us the courage to live better, to live higher. When you read this book, you come out feeling, wow, if one woman can do all that, surely, surely there's something great for me to accomplish in this world.
Wow, 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 wow. How true. All of us can gain so much. And I really appreciate that you took us a bit behind the scenes about the making of the Rebbetzin and the writing of the Rebbetzin, and of course about the great Rebbetzin Esther Young Rice herself. And we're very lucky.
And we're very lucky also, Heather, that we have photos in the book, because they make the whole book come alive. There's photos of Madison Square Garden with thousands of people there. And you see this tiny little figure with the lights beamed on her. How much courage did you need for that?
Right. Well, I'm not surprised. And that's how she was. That's really how she was. She could take on the world.
Yes.
When the Rebbitzin was at the Kotel, like we've seen her at the Kotel, and it's just so, you know, a great shining light was there, and wow, just the crowds would gather around her.
Yes. We were lucky and blessed to have her. Thank you for your memories too.
Thank you. Thank you, Slovy Young Rice Wolf, for joining us on 613 Books Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Slovy Young Rice Wolf is also a popular columnist for Aish.com, where her articles about life and Judaism have inspired people worldwide, and her parenting workshops on JewishEbooks.com have also reached audiences worldwide. For details about the biography, The Rebbitzin, by Rabbi Nachman Seltzer, as well as The Soul of Parenting, by Slovy Young Rice Wolf, check out the show notes for this episode.
And now, it's time to find out what is on the reading table of today's Jewish movers and shakers.
And I'm delighted to tell you that mover and shaker, also educator and author of several books, Sarah Blau is on the line to tell us about one of the books on her reading table. Sarah has lectured internationally to audiences of all ages and stages, aiming to impart Hasidic values in everyday terms. And she was my featured guest a few months ago on 613 Books Podcast, telling us about two of her most recent published books, Thought Streams, and Close to You. Okay, welcome back to 613 Books Podcast, Sarah Blau, and tell us what's on your reading table.
Hi, Heather. One of the books on my reading table are Positivity Bias by Rabbi Mendel Kalmanson. And many of us have heard about the idea of negativity bias, where naturally our mind goes to the part of the ceiling that's broken or the thing that's going wrong in our life. And we want to reverse that and flip that into a positivity bias, where everything we look at is really positive. And Rabbi Kalmanson in the book gives so many examples and stories, really, really showing you. I mean, if I just read you some of the chapters, like channeling, illumination, not elimination, positive language, just how to take somebody who might have a negative personality trait and how they could channel it, young people, old people. And it's really a lot of it is based on stories and interactions of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he really taught an entire generation of people how to bring out the best in other people. And so if you want to pick me up, if you feel down or depressed or a little bit just disillusioned by people, you know, this is the book for you, Positivity Bias. And I don't read it at one shot. I like pick it up in spurts. So that is why this is on my reading table, to lift me up and help me with a positivity bias.
Well, thanks for this recommendation, Sarah. Sarah Blau has written over 20 children's books as well as 150 articles on Chabad.org. Details and a link to purchase the book that Sarah just recommended are in this episode's show notes. And you know what else is there? The links to purchase all of the books that are mentioned in this week's episode. That includes the biography The Rebbitzin and also Slovy Young Rice Wolf's books. There's also contact information for our guests. It's all there for you. And that's what's on the shelf for this episode of 613 Books Podcast. I'm Heather Dean. Thanks for listening.
613 Books Podcast is produced and hosted by Heather Dean. Senior producer and director of operations, Greg Cohen. Consulting producer, Yiska Roth. Show announcer, Michael Doniger. Remember to like and subscribe to our show on your favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your own preferred app, and never miss an episode. You can find all episodes of 613 Books Podcast by visiting our website, heatherdeanproductions.com.